So as thank you, Andy. As he said, I am kind of wearing both hats in this conference today. I'm a medical officer. I'm a pediatrician, and I'm focused on pediatric cardiology, but I also have a background in biomedical engineering. So I think this public health informatics is a nice blend between both of them. Today, my title is Collaborative Efforts in Developing EHR Functionality Relative to Birth Defects. Some of the same issues that Asha and Anand went through, I'm going to touch on and talk about a little bit more in depth. Okay. The left one. Okay. So to give you a little background, there was a couple of terminology that kind of got tossed out there in the last couple of talks. I'm going to kind of go over some of that and explain how we really got involved and how I got involved in this area. So birth defects, as they mentioned, are problems with the structure of one or more parts of the body present at birth and can have really serious adverse effects on the health, development, and long-term functional ability of affected individuals. Now, about 100,000 infants are born with birth defects yearly in the United States. It is the leading cause of infant mortality and about also causing 30% of admissions to pediatric hospitals. Now, congenital heart defects are one type of birth defect affecting the structure and function of the heart itself. It is the most common type of birth defect, affecting nearly 1% of births or about 40,000 births yearly in the United States. It is the leading cause of birth defect-related infant deaths. However, the good news is that survival is improving due to better treatment and care in the last several decades. However, now there is no population-based data on the prevalence of CHDs across all ages in the United States. Traditionally, we have prevalence data on births, but now, as people are living longer, we don't really know how many adolescents or adults are living in the United States with congenital heart defects. However, it is estimated that approximately 2 to 3 million people may be living with CHDs, and perhaps adults might be even more prevalent than children at this point. But again, we don't really know exact numbers at this point. All right.
I'm clicking.
So birth defect surveillance programs have many important activities. One, they estimate the defect prevalence. They describe the epidemiology of it. They can quantify morbidity and mortality. They can do analysis of time and location variation, identification of risk factors and prognostic factors, and can also evaluate the need for services or prevention programs, as well as educate and advocate. So BD or CHD, birth defects or congenital heart defects surveillance, there are some challenges. And I'm not going to go through all of these in detail, but these are the main challenges we face every day. Case ascertainment or finding of cases, the data quality in terms of completeness and accuracy, case classification, cost, timeliness of monitoring reports, and willingness and ability to share data amongst programs, and then, of course, confidentiality. There are many programs in the United States, there's a program in almost every state and territory, and they address these challenges to varying degrees with varying success. Now, CDC funds 22 states and territories in the U.S. for birth defect surveillance and research. And they case finding in any of these birth defect programs can either be passive, where cases are identified from existing public data sets and are reported to the birth defect center. Or they're active, where surveillance abstractors go out to multiple different sources, find cases, and then review the cases for completeness and accuracy. And then there are other programs that do sort of a variation between the two, but those are the two buckets, really, for surveillance purposes. Now, many systems actually are passive. It's usually the most cost-effective way of getting cases and having a surveillance system. And in these cases, many programs already use EHRS reporting. So, you know, we're already, the horse is already out of the barn. EHRs are actively part of certain programs. So we need to jump in and find out how we can improve this functionality. However, there are limited funding and methodology to collect data of children, adolescents, and adults, and this is one challenge. So, you know, some of the implications of the challenges to birth defect surveillance is that it can undercount cases, especially some of the passive systems that miss cases, as was so eloquently shown, the elephant and the baby elephant. It can also limit collection of detailed clinical information, and they may be unable to estimate the prevalence or outcomes in morbidity across all age groups, across different times and locations. So a key point is that as the congenital heart defect population is growing, and again, the adults may outnumber the children at this point, there has been an urgency to really address the challenges in an innovative manner. And like what was said in the plenary session today, we are being forced to do more, as in try and find prevalence across the age group, with less or the same, as in the fact there are many challenges with birth defect surveillance programs, i.e. cost. And so we need to try and do some innovative framework to try and help answer these questions and address these issues for the population. And we hope that this framework for CHDs can be applied to really all birth defects. So why involve BD or CHD in the EHRS framework? Well, you know, as I said, some surveillance systems already use the EHR reporting, and birth defects are a relatively rare disease, so we can test out many of these issues with the framework and using EHR and in a very specific population. EHRS could improve the capacity of birth defect programs to conduct surveillance and etiological and outcome research, improve the comparability and feasibility of pooling data across programs, improve the delivery of services, and collect data without really burdening healthcare providers, such as, you know, sitting and finding a space to retrieve medical records or reviewing them. EHRS birth defect functionality requirements could streamline existing processes and procedures for case ascertainment and data collection, thereby improving the cost effectiveness of surveillance and improving the timeliness of data reporting. These are two key issues in many people's minds today. So now I'm going to go over a little bit of sort of the background and overview of some of the informatics and EHR systems. And I'm sure many of you are familiar with these groups and these organizations. However, I came into this in January of this year, and so I kind of had to catch up on these terms and where everything sort of fit. So here's my version of what I understand. So HL7, or Health Level 7, was established in 1987 as an accredited nonprofit healthcare standard development organization. And the Electronic Health Record System, EHRS, has there's a technical committee that in 2004 developed a functional model. And this is approved as a standard in February of 2007. Now, periodically, there's updated releases of this EHR functional model with input from special interest work groups or the consortiums. And what this technical committee really wanted was unique functional profiles that were to be developed to inform developers, purchasers, and others of functional requirements of systems developed for these domains. So as was mentioned, the Public Health Data Standards Consortium is a unique entity made up of many different cross-cutting individuals and agencies to represent the interest of public health in this standardization process. And it created a EHR public health task force that was supported by, or is supported by, National Center on Health Statistics and the CDC. And this task force in 2004 developed a white paper describing really there was a need for broad national efforts to standardize clinical and public health data and express public health perspectives on the functional model that was developed by HL7. So currently, the task force is working on the public health functional profile. So that's where this PHFP came in. And again, it's a reevaluation of the HL7 EHR functional model from a public health perspective. We're giving input on the core functionality. And we already have three domains that have been voted in this year and several more in previous years. But we have vital records, cancer, EDI, and now birth defects and deep vein thrombosis or pulmonary embolism, DVT-PE. And several others that are coming on board now this year. And really using national standards would lead to an increased use of EHRS, certification of EHR vendors from a public health standpoint, and in turn support the meaningful use of EHRs. So really getting our foot into this whole standardization process and with the look of what does birth defects need from that area, or what does DVT need. So as was mentioned, there are three functional categories: supportive, information, infrastructure, and direct care. And in direct care, there are several different subtopics: care management, record management, care guidelines, problem list, the whole list up there. And we were looking at it. Birth defects, yes, we do need to know the number of cases. We need to look at the care management, record management, and demographics to abstract that information. But this is also an opportunity to provide information to the public, to clinicians, to people with a certain birth defect as to guidelines and protocols that have been developed in our infrastructure specifically related to birth defects. And so the care guidelines aspect of this functionality is important for us to sort of leave our mark. And as they also alluded to, this is a snapshot of the very large Excel spreadsheet that is provided to us. Each of those functional categories has many rows. For example, direct care has 900 rows itself in the Excel spreadsheet. And each one of them has a very specific line of text relating to the functionality requirements. And as you can see here, I've said that each one of the columns is a different group. So EHR, we start with the functional model, the large one, then the public health functional profile, and then the different domains, such as congenital heart defects, and what needs to be tweaked or changed for utility in each of those domains. And this is just sort of an overview flow diagram of developing a domain. So we review the sections of the functional model, each row by row, each area, submit proposed changes on the spreadsheet. Everything gets collated. We talk about it on conference calls every 2 weeks with representatives from all of the people on the Public Health Data Standards Consortium. Each of these people, they agree to, yes, this looks good, this looks right, it's documented, and then in the end, after all of these calls, try to identify really a functional profile to submit up for voting and consideration to include it as a criteria. So this is a long process. It's very intense, labor intensive. I looked at a spreadsheet of 900 rows and said, you want this when? You want me to read this when? So it's been a whirlwind, and I liked the allusion earlier in the plenary of kind of on a runaway train trying to hold on. So that's sort of where we've been. And so initially, this birth defect domain scope got started, as we alluded to, as specific to congenital heart defects. And the initial domains or the functionality profile was reviewed by myself and two others, Anand and Asha. And we really limited ourselves to criteria and standards related to traditional case ascertainment of CHDs among infants. But again, as I alluded to, this could be really expanded to a lot more than the traditional case ascertainment. And we actually wrote a brief appendix in the overview chapter of the functional profile this spring. Now we've expanded it, and we're actually engaging the EHR workgroup of the National Birth Defects Prevention Network. This is a national network of state-based birth defect surveillance programs and other people that are interested in surveillance and research and prevention. And they were very excited to hear about this opportunity for collaboration because they had already in place an EHR workgroup, because as I said, many states do actually use EHRs already in their surveillance. So the goal was to develop a comprehensive standards which can be used to really improve the activities of birth defects programs. And so we're looking very closely at the data content for the birth defect domain to really include many of the items for surveillance and prevention, such as diagnosis of birth defects and the methods of diagnosis, the family history, complications, treatment, quality measures, and prevention activities. So anything that anywhere along this functional profile that we can interject to meet some of these things will be wonderful. So now I'm going to turn to, as Asha talked about, another collaborative effort going on in our center, the CDC Emory EMR Surveillance Project, which we're very excited about. This partnership, again, has been established to study 1,600 patients at Emory's Adult Congenital Heart Clinic. The objective was, with a defined population and time period, to develop and implement an approach for identifying the EMR database hospitalizations and outpatient visits related to CHD for people over age 20, and really to try and estimate the prevalence of CHD associated with hospitalization among adults in the defined population and time period. So going back full circle, we don't know how many people with congenital heart defects are out there in the population long term. So can we develop this algorithm and test this pilot project to leverage the EHRs to answer this question? And this can be applied to all birth defects because many people are living into adulthood with many types of birth defects. So the approach was to extract patient data from the Emory EHR system using an algorithm that does not include ICD-9 codes that's traditionally used, but clinician-specified parameters. So this is really interesting, and we're very excited about this and the potential that can be used not only for other birth defects, but also in other areas besides Emory. Maybe we want to look at HMOs across the country and apply this algorithm to try and find adults with CHD. So the possibilities are really exciting. However, we're in the initial feasibility stage and writing of the algorithm, and further exploration does require some funding, but IRB has been completed, so we're in the process. And there's many different data points that we're gathering once we capture, you know, a patient with CHD, such as the hospitalization information, medical history, and other criteria such as quality of life. So that was my original talk on birth defects and congenital heart defects. I am going to be now putting on my hat of Michelle Beckman at our center. She unfortunately is ill today. And talk to you a few minutes about developing EHR functionality for public health surveillance and prevention of deep vein thrombosis or pulmonary embolism. That's what DVT-PE stands for. So deep vein thrombosis is what happens when blood clots form in a deep vein, usually in the legs, sometimes in the arms. And pulmonary embolism is when a blood clot breaks off, goes through the bloodstream, and lodges in a pulmonary artery in the lungs, and this can be fatal. Currently, there is no national surveillance for either of these conditions. So it's estimated that annual incidence is between 1 and 2 per 1,000 individuals, or approximately 200 to 300,000 cases per year. Now, there is an estimated 25% of the pulmonary embolism patients die within 1 month, despite treatments, and that a third of people who have either of these conditions have a recurrence within 10 years. So in 2008, the Surgeon General had a call to action to prevent these conditions. And in Healthy People 2020, there actually are 2 points in it that talk about reducing the number of persons who develop venous thromboembolism, or VTE, which is also synonymous for DVT. So again, a lot of acronyms thrown out here, try and keep it going. And you know, there's a public health approach, as we all understand, surveillance, what's the problem, risk factors, identification of causes, intervention, how can we change it, and then implementation, well, how do we change it? So CDC held a stakeholder meeting, and they really addressed that there were surveillance needs for these two conditions, such as estimating the number of people in the U.S. That's seems like a simple task, but can be very challenging. Helping understand and reduce the burden of it in the economy, defining research questions, and providing a baseline on which to evaluate future prevention measures. Also, there's some quality measures in the CMS Meaningful Use Stage 1 for hospitals on how to prevent VTEs. And you know, there really is a public health prevention challenge here because everyone is at risk for these two conditions. It can be anyone, you know, riding on an airplane or a pregnant woman. We know there are some triggers for it, but many of them are unknown. And unfortunately, it's diagnosed and treated in multiple settings, so it's very difficult to ascertain. And as I said, can result in sudden death, and there is a high recurrence rate. So the utility of EHRs is to provide documentation of these conditions, of the diagnosis, the care, presentation, and prevention activities. And EHRs could improve capacity of public health programs to conduct surveillance and etiological and outcome research, improve prevention, and improve delivery of service. So many of the same things that we feel are important for birth defects can also be important for the DVT side of things. So that's why we're all working together in these collaborative efforts to improve functionality. And so again, the problem is that there's a diagnosis and treatment in multiple settings, so EHR is important to link, evaluate, and collect many types of health-related data from multiple sources. So there's several challenges here for these conditions. And the data content ranges from the diagnosis and risk factors through quality measures and prevention activities, much like for birth defects. And the creation of this public health functional profile for DVT and PE Michelle Beckman worked with me and the Public Health Data Standards Consortium this spring to look at developing a domain related to DVT and PE, reviewing these spreadsheets and writing an appendix. However, we both felt that we needed to engage our partners more. And so we did not submit for balloting this spring. We are waiting and doing it for the fall and the spring of the following year here so that we can really engage our partners to write the best possible domains for birth defects and DVT-PE. So that's it for both of my presentations. So I think I'm under time at least. Thank you very much.